For this evening's reading, I'd like to finish the chapter that we read last Wednesday night, and that would be in Mark chapter 10, and then we would begin the reading with verse number 32. Mark 10, verse number 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the twelve and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thankful for the prayer that was offered here audibly, and also for your silent prayers that you've given to the Lord for grace, that the Word of God would come forth in this evening hour, and that it would be His Word that would go forth. And we think of the verse that is written in Hebrews there, where it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And if we come into God's presence and into His house with that remembrance that the Word of God makes alive, it's quick, it makes alive, and it's powerful, then we know that our gathering together will be fulfilling. It will be strengthening. It will be good for us that it doesn't matter who's bringing forth the word or in the manner that it's brought forth, but we know that through the Holy Spirit, God is faithful, and he will provide that which we have need of. His word will be livening for us. His word will make us to be alive in him. And his word will be powerful to us in a measure that goes far beyond our understanding. Far beyond our understanding. And so may it be that with that thought, that the word of God is quick and powerful, that we would consider this scripture this evening hour. I appreciated the message last Wednesday night and the thoughts that were shared and the reading that was had here in the first part of this chapter. And it touched me so that I felt, you know, that I would read then the rest of the chapter. And in a sense, it's a day in the life of Jesus. And he's speaking unto us of truths and bringing forth things that have happened in his life that we can come to know and be acquainted with and understand him more and more. And so earlier here, as a reminder of what we read last Wednesday night, and of children being brought to Jesus and how Jesus blessed them, and then how there was this rich young man that came unto him asking him what he must do, and Jesus tells him, "Come, take up your cross and follow me," and how it is that we need to put all of our trust in the Lord. In all things, Lord, that we would have nothing besides the Lord as our trust, that money would not be that trust as it was for this man, but that we would trust the Lord in all things. And then that powerful truth that with God all things are possible. All things, God can do all things. And we'll touch on that as we consider this scripture this evening. And he also spoke of if we leave all, we will receive 100-fold more in this time. And that's the truth of God. And Jesus, as he's bringing forth the message, or as he's speaking forth to the disciples here later, in our reading, we see that he dispels myths and he brings forth the truth. And so we pick up the reading where he's making his way down the Jordan Valley River, or down the Jordan Valley along the Jordan River, and he's making his way towards Jerusalem, and the disciples that are with him, they're amazed and they're afraid, the Bible says, because they recall that the times before when he was in Jerusalem that they wanted to stone him. And even in another place that the disciples are asking the Lord, "You really want to go back to Jerusalem? The Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you want to go back there?" And so they were afraid, and they were amazed as they're following Jesus along this Jordan Valley, making their way toward Jerusalem. And so Jesus takes this opportunity now, and he separates his 12, and he speaks to them, and he's bringing forth to them a very, very important message. And this message is the message of the gospel. It's the message of truth. It's the message of life. And it's the message of the reason he came. And so Jesus speaks to them. He's saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles." And then here's what the Gentiles are going to do. "They shall mock him, they shall scourge him, they shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." Truly, this must have put more fear into the disciples' hearts, that these things were going to happen. But in one of the other Gospels, it speaks here that the disciples understood none of those things that he spoke when he spoke these things. They understood none of it. But yet Jesus told them very plainly. And we have the benefit of knowing what Jesus did and the purpose of the gospel and the reason why Jesus came for him to bring life here for all mankind who would believe upon him. We understand this. But at the time, the disciples did not understand this. But Jesus here is speaking, and this is bringing to the culmination of the scriptures of why Jesus came and what he was here to do. And he tells them that on that third day he shall rise again, and that gives us hope, and that gives us joy, that we know these things, and knowing that with God all things are possible. And so further on it says that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him and saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatever we shall desire. And so they had a request of Jesus Christ. And Jesus responds to them, what is your request? What is it that you would like? And they say, grant unto us that we may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. That was what they wanted. They just missed what Jesus just taught them just earlier, when he says here in verse number 31, many that shall be first, that are first shall be last, and the last first. They sought to elevate themselves to be first place. But Jesus is teaching them otherwise. And so again, it's that truth that Jesus Christ is bringing. And we see here in this reading here this evening that Jesus is often saying, but. And he's saying, but in contrast, that is a myth, but here's the truth. Here's what man desires, but here's the truth. And so Jesus says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And so they missed that. And oftentimes when we go through the scriptures and we read the scriptures, we miss a lot of things as well. And we have to be reminded that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God makes alive. The Word of God has great, great power within our lives. But here it was that James and John, they missed it when Jesus said, many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So Jesus responds and says to them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus says, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. Jesus said, yes, that is true. And in fact, it played out that way, because King Herod had killed James with the sword. So James did drink of the cup that Jesus drank of. And the Apostle John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. And in the first chapter of Revelations, John the Apostle, here who we read of, says, I'm your fellow companion in tribulation. I'm right there with you in tribulation. He was experiencing this tribulation. And so he did drink of the cup that Jesus drank of, and he was baptized with the baptism that Jesus was baptized with. So in fact, it did play out even as Jesus said. And then he says, but, so here's the separation of the myth to the truth, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us, and he will come and bring us to that place where he has prepared for us. And it's in God's power and in God's way that he will prepare for us the place, a place where he has in mind for us to be in his heavenly kingdom. And we'll leave that to God. Let him place us and let us be where he wants us to be in his kingdom. But ours is to be who he would have us to be while we are here upon this earth. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he was teaching them, saying, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. It was prepared for them. It was prepared for them because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Those who yield themselves to the Lord. Those who, as it was read earlier in this chapter, where the camel going through the eye of the needle, where Jesus says, strive to enter into the gate, into the straight gate, for narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Because you have to leave all of yourself behind And you have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, as Brother Bob mentioned often last Wednesday night. Having that broken heart. This is what the James and John were missing here at this time. That they were missing that broken heart and a contrite spirit. They were missing it that they were thinking of themselves first, above others. And then when the 10 heard it, the other 10 disciples, they began to be much displeased with James and John. They had it wrong too. We all have an opportunity to grow and to learn from something. And when Jesus teaches us that we have this opportunity to learn and to grow, but not to be displeased with others. Because often in our lifetime we find that we get things wrong. And we need that mercy of God. We need His grace. So Jesus calls them unto Him again. Just as He called them and He spoke to them in that Jordan Valley as they're making their way towards Jerusalem, and He's telling them that He told them that He would go to Jerusalem and would be betrayed and all of that, and He would suffer so many things. So many things He didn't mention there. That not only would He be mocked, scourged, spat upon, and killed, but He would be betrayed by Judas, one of these 12 that He's speaking to. That Peter would deny Him 3 times. That all the other disciples would flee. He didn't mention those things, but He knew that they would happen as well. And so He spoke to them, the 12, of these things that were to come to pass. And then Jesus calls these 12 again to Him after this episode with James and John desiring the chief places in God's kingdom. It's saying, but Jesus. He's separating myth from truth. And He's saying, but Jesus called them unto Him and says to them, "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." They were familiar with that setup. They were familiar with how that operation was, that among the Gentiles, he who was great, they exercised lordship, and they exercised authority. They were familiar with that. They were familiar with when Caesar Augustus said, "All the world needs to be taxed. And it doesn't matter if you're pregnant and you need to travel all the way to your home city to pay your tax. It doesn't matter," as it was with Joseph and Mary. Caesar Augustus didn't have anybody else in mind. He had his own desires in mind. And so Jesus was teaching again, "The last shall be first and the first shall be last." And Jesus here is teaching that these Gentiles do things in this way that serves themselves. We're not here to serve ourselves, we're here to serve others. King Herod, when he was mocked of the wise men, he had all the children 2 years old and younger killed in Bethlehem in that region. He was serving self. He was exercising his lordship. He was exercising his authority to serve himself, not to serve others. Pontius Pilate thought he had power, and he tells Jesus, "Don't you know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" He thought he had power, again, to serve himself, and not to serve others. And then there's one that's mentioned in the third epistle of John, where he says that there was a man named Diotrephes, and he loved to have the preeminence in the church, and he wouldn't allow certain people in, and he wouldn't allow the John, the apostle, to come, and he put others out of the church, and he loved to have the preeminence among them. Again, serving self, exercising lordship, exercising authority, not serving others. not serving others. And so Jesus says, but that's not the way. That's myth. Here's truth. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, meaning shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. He didn't come to exercise lordship. He didn't come to exercise authority. But he came to exercise a servant attitude and serve others and continuously serve others. So even when James and John were getting it wrong, and when the other two were much displeased with James and John, and even when these things were happening, he's saying, no, we're here to serve. He's teaching them these truths. And again, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it works in our heart. It works in our hearts. And when we come to know that truth and to live out that truth, that we're not here to please ourselves, we're not here to exercise authority, we're not here to exercise lordship or strive to step on others to get ahead. That's not why we're here. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It makes alive, and it works in us that we would be as Christ, Christ-like Christians serving others. And so it is that Jericho is a city closer to the Jordan River there in the Jordan Valley. And from there, the land goes up to Jerusalem. And it says that they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This was his plea. This was his desire. And he didn't know where Jesus was. He's blind. He can't see anything. He doesn't know who's around. He doesn't know where the procession is. He hears the noise of the crowd going by, and he's just simply crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, just as the disciples said, no, don't bring these children to Jesus. He's too important for these children. These men were saying the same thing to Bartimaeus. They were saying, You should be quiet. Hold your peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't want to give up. He wasn't going to give up. And Jesus taught that when he was speaking that about in Luke chapter 18 about how men ought not to faint, but always to pray. Always to pray. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. And how that woman went to an unjust judge and she just kept going to him. But God is faithful. God will give unto us what we have need of. And this man understood that truth. Bartimaeus understood that truth, and he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to be told, no, he wasn't going to be told to be quiet. He was going to cry out for mercy more and more. And then it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said unto him, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. There's that word call, it just keeps coming up. The call of Jesus. Come in from your blindness. Come, mercy is going to be shown. There was a call made here. And now these men that were once telling this man to be quiet, now they're saying, be of good comfort. Now they're speaking nicely to him. Saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Did Jesus really need to ask that question? Jesus knows all things. Jesus knows all things. But he still asked Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. In such an unpretentious, no showing way, just in complete sincerity, he just brought his need and his concern directly to the Lord, unloaded it, and brought it directly to him. And that's a true model of what a prayer is and what Jesus would have us to pray as. We don't need to come with eloquent words. We're not going to impress God by our prayers that have poetry or the length of it or whatever. God wants us to come with a sincere heart. A sincere heart to bring our petition and our concerns before Him. And Jesus, when He was on the Mount preaching that sermon, He teaches us how to pray. And He's saying, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's the myth. That's the myth. And I'm now going to bring you the truth. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is the manner of prayer that we should come. In knowing that in our quietness, in our own private way, that we would bring our petition to the Lord. And God will answer, and He will reward us openly. And He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's not the prayer that God wants us to come to Him with. A long prayer, an eloquent prayer. But just a simple, sincere heart. That is the qualifications of a good prayer. A simple, sincere heart, bringing the exact need to the Lord. But be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Jesus knew what Bartimaeus' need was before He asked him. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew exactly what his need was. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. These are the words of Jesus. This is what's quick and powerful. This was powerful to this man, Bartimaeus. He realized what faith could do for him. He realized that with God, all things are possible. God can do all things. And so Bartimaeus had this faith, had that faith. And so Jesus rewarded that faith and said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It was his faith that evoked the power of God. In Romans chapter 5, we read about this faith. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read these verses, think of Bartimaeus. As he was there in Jericho, always with a handout, asking for alms, always in dependence of others, always having that miserableness of just having darkness, no light, his eyes not beholding any light. And so, but he had a faith. He had a faith that with God all things were possible. And so So the Bible says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope in hope of the glory of God. This is how it is for how it is for us and how it was for blind Bartimaeus. We have access into grace. Our faith puts us in the realm of grace. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Bartimaeus rejoiced in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is our joy when we have that faith, that knowing with God all things are possible, and that He will give unto us 100-fold if we leave all our life behind, our old life behind and go through that eye of the needle and know that we're going through that straight and narrow gate that leads to life, that God will provide 100-fold more for us. He provided sight for Bartimaeus. And so we rejoice in this grace that we stand in, that Jesus provided. Faith put us there. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ put us in this grace that we have, and we rejoice in this hope of the glory of God. The Bible doesn't stop there. It says, here's something else we can rejoice in. Rejoice in this. Rejoice in your tribulations. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. With God all things are possible. He can let his love shine abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which he has given unto us. May we have that faith that Bartimaeus had, that with God all things are possible. When we go through the eye of the needle, when we go through that straight and narrow gate that leads to life, and we leave our former life behind, our former desires behind, and walk in newness of life, having faith in him, that God will provide something much, much greater than we can ever imagine. 100-fold. 100-fold. The Bible says that God can do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask and think. I'd like to say that again. The Bible says that God can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bartimaeus asked for his sight. God can do so much more. God can do so much more in our lives because God can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God that we deal with. Jesus is saying, have faith in him. Have faith in him, and he will do these things in our lives. The word of God is quick and powerful. This is the God that we deal with. May he bless our lives. Amen.
Two themes that seem to weave their way through the message this evening that were particularly precious as I sat and listened were that of persistence and of the tender call of Jesus. We see in Bartimaeus persistent asking for mercy in humility, and we see Jesus' response, a tender call. He's not refused. How precious, and it is a reminder to us that a contrite heart will not be despised by the Lord. And we also see persistence in Jesus' tender call as he interacts with his disciples, who as myself and you and everyone are oftentimes slow to learn, often distracted with smaller things when Jesus is teaching us and bringing us the light and the truth. Yet, he is persistent. And he calls them time and time again to his side. He was devoting himself to them, pouring himself into them, teaching them his ways. And that is what he does today for us, bringing us the word, offering us his spirit to teach us, to correct us in love. And maybe that's why, with God, all things are possible, because he does not give up on his own. So may we follow his example and not give up, and follow him in faith and in obedience, as we just sang, and answer the call, listen to the call, and love the call of our Savior. Amen.